So, for the record, this is Patrick Cook interviewing Tom Morris at his home, Billings, Montana, with cinematographer Matt Miller. So, thanks again for doing this, Tom.
No problem.
So, for the record, can you tell us what your name is and where and when you were born?
Well, my full name, Thomas Michael Morris. I was born in Anaconda, Montana, 1944.
And just so you know, we can ignore the camera.
Okay.
We'll just chat. And did you grow up in Anaconda?
Did, yes.
When did you move from there?
Well, I went to Carroll College. I graduated from high school in 1962. And I went to Carroll College. And I never really lived again in Anaconda until, other than like summer vacations and stuff like that. Ever again. I mean, I went to Carroll College. I spent a year and a half in a seminary in New York, and I left that and I got drafted and went into the military. And when I got out of the military, I went to Missoula and got my master's degree there. Then I went to work in Helena for a couple of years and then to Butte. And I've been in Butte. I worked in Butte for about 35 years. Wow. And then we moved here about a year and a half ago.
Okay. So you're a pretty recent transplant to Billings?
I am, yeah. Okay. My wife is from Billings, so that's...
Oh, okay.
And we have grandkids in that here, so we moved here.
Sure. What did you do for 35 years in Butte?
I was a speech and language pathologist.
Okay. And that's what your education was in?
Yeah.
Did you do your undergraduate and graduate studies there?
No, I did my undergraduate at Carroll College. Graduated from there in 1966.
Gotcha. What division of the armed forces did you join?
I was in the Army. I got drafted into the Army.
You were drafted?
Yes.
Okay. And what year was that that you were drafted?
Oh, it was like 1968. Hmm. 68, I think.
Okay. And did you see any action?
No, I went into the service. They did a basic training in Fort Lewis, Washington, the AIT in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Then they sent me to Officer's Candidate School in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And they commissioned me in Air Defense Artillery and sent me to Fort Bliss, Texas to learn how to shoot a missile. And it didn't work. The missile didn't work, so they defunct it and sent me to Fort Leonard, Missouri. And I spent 2 years in Fort Leonard, Missouri, and then I got out. And then I don't know if this is interesting or not, but in the 2 years I was there, myself and one other fellow were not sent to Vietnam. They were the only two that I knew of that didn't go to Vietnam.
Wow.
Yeah.
And do you know why that was?
I have no idea.
They
just never sent me.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you were in the service, though, through that whole conflict?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You were just stateside?
Yeah, I was stateside. I was 2 years in Fort Leonard, Missouri.
And so what did daily life look like during that time?
At Fort Leonard?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they used to call it Little Korea because it was hot in the summertime and cold in the wintertime and very humid. I didn't particularly like the military. I mean, I was real glad to get out. But day-to-day life, the job was pretty, I was an instructor for basic training troops. I had a couple jobs. One was, my first one was I was in charge of record range, which is where the troops came out to qualify with the M14 at the time. And then they changed from the M14 to the M16, which caused a lot of problems that we were on the ground floor of, because all the troops were failing. And the reason they were failing, we had these targets that worked on vibration, and when a bullet went through the target, it'd go down, and then the lane grader, they'd call them, would mark a hit or not. Well, the M16, the velocity of the M16 was so fast that it'd go through the target without causing any vibration. So they'd make it a miss, and they were actually hitting the target. The first couple groups that went through, everybody failed. And then we go down range afterwards and look, and the targets are full of holes, but none of them went down. So it caused a real problem.
How did they fix that?
Well, I don't know. They really didn't. They were, the old sergeant I had working for me, he says, sir, give them what they want. I said, what do you mean? He says, they want a pass. He says, so tell the land graders if they think they hit the target, mark a hit. And so that's kind of how they settled the problem. But I mean, I don't know what happened after I left, but I was there for about 8 months, and then they moved me to a different... I was teaching a different class. I was actually teaching a class on Vietnam. I'd never been there. But they used to have it all. They had a whole narrative that you were supposed to follow. You know, you were...
Wow.
So, you
know. All right. And you're married.
I'm married.
And what's your wife's name?
Sandy. Sandra.
And is she also Irish?
No. Well, there's a little bit in there.
Okay.
Sandy, well, your mother was a quarter Irish or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but she's mostly German. Her maiden name was Leichner.
Okay. Do you have any children?
Three.
And what are their ages?
42, 39, and 31.
32.
We'll be 32 this month. We'll be 33, yeah. Okay, 33, yeah.
All right. Do you know when your ancestors left Ireland?
I could probably figure it out. My dad was born in 1915, and he came to America when he was 11 years old, so that would have been like 1926.
And do you know where they left from?
Yeah. As the story here, the history of it is, my grandfather and grandmother left Ireland and came to Anaconda. They met in Anaconda, were married in Anaconda, had their first two children in Anaconda, and then went back to Ireland. My grandfather's was raised in Roscommon, but when they went back, they bought a little farm in County Mayo, out of Swinford, County Mayo, and that's where my dad was born. And then when he was 11 years old, they came back to Anaconda. The dad had come back a couple of years earlier, but then they came back and...
Do you know why they went back?
I had no idea.
Really, no idea. Did he work when they were there and had two children? Did he work in a smelter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what his position was?
Yeah, I do. I don't know if he had the same position all the time. I know that he died young, and he died from like a strep throat infection. There was no penicillin in those days.
Wow.
And he used to work in what I was told anyways, he worked in the converters where they used to pull the anodes, the copper anodes off of the mats, the formats that they had there into the water. And he used to have to wear a rubber suit or whatever and pull that into the water. And in the days that he did it, later on they had different, better techniques, but that's kind of what he did. That's
yeah.
What I was told anyway.
Pretty dangerous work.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Do you know anything about their lives in Ireland? What did he do in Ireland?
Okay. My grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
He had the farm. I think he was a farmer.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. What does your Irish ancestry mean to you? How is that significant in your life, or is it?
Well, yeah, in a way it is. I mean, I was raised in Anaconda at the time where everybody was an Irish Catholic Democrat. I mean, I was 10 years old before I knew that wasn't one word. And, you know, like on the block that I lived on, if you went west, there was the Beatties, and then the Lesters. If you went north, it was the Lacys, the Gallaghers, the McCarrans, the Dees. I mean, you know, everybody that I was raised around was Irish, you know. The kids I ran around with were named Sullivan, Lester, Haffey, McCarran. You know, everybody McKittrick, McCarthy, Walsh. These are the kids in my classes, you know. So everybody was pretty much Irish Catholic Democrat. So I guess it'd be like a little Ireland, I guess. I mean, everything was Irish. Though I would have to say, you know, it didn't mean too much to my dad, being Irish. It didn't seem to. He never talked about his life in Ireland. Very few. The things he told me about his life in Ireland was the British soldiers coming in and searching their homes. He used to talk about that. He had no love for England at all. He talked about, like, on Christmas, they used to get an orange. That was their Christmas present. It was an orange. Yeah. So, I mean, did you ever read Angela's Ashes?
Yeah.
Well, my dad was older than him, so he'd been back. And I would imagine the conditions were like that right. when he was there. Yeah. But he would never talk about his life in Ireland. He never, even if you asked him, he wouldn't say much. In a few years, well, when he was getting older and his older brother wanted him to go back with him, you know, to... Because they still had family in that there, you know, to go back and meet the family and or talk with them and that. And he wouldn't go. And I asked him, I said, why not? Why don't you go? I mean, he had the means and that. He could have gone. I says, why don't you go? He says, I have no fond memories of the place. So, I mean, take that from what you will. But that's, he went to Alaska instead. He liked that better. So... I don't think, you know, and when my dad came over, you know, it was like 3 months on the boat or whatever in those days or whatever, and then they got on a train from New York to Butte, and then his father picked him up in Butte and took him to Anaconda. And he spent one night with his family in Anaconda, and the next day his dad took him out and put him to work on a dairy where he had to live, you know, so... yeah, so I don't, you know, I mean, I don't, and that's, and the relatives, we had a lot of relatives around in the car. I was telling you, that kid, when they never got together. They never got together. I mean, immediate family, yes. Brothers and sisters, yes. But other than that, they never got together. I met guys that are related that my dad had a cousin in Butte, 20 miles away. First time they met was in the airport in Denver. When my dad was going to a Notre Dame football game in San Francisco, and this guy was going to Tokyo because his son was played for Stanford University and was having a game in Tokyo at the time. That was the first time they ever met, and they were cousins. You know, so, I mean, I don't know what the Irish family heritage and, you know, the close-knit bonding or whatever was, but that's how I'm remembering it all. So I don't. My dad never talked about Ireland. Very, very little. About his life there at all, and that's what he told me. He had no fond memories of the place.
That seems to be pretty common for a lot of the people that we talked to. At least that generation that had come over initially.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's only now kind of your generation and my generation yeah. that's expressed interest in
them. Yeah, well, my brother's been back a couple times, and he loved it. I mean, he thought everything was great. He thought it was wonderful. They had a great time.
Yeah, I really liked it, too.
Yeah.
I went a few years ago. Did you, do you know Eddie McCarthy?
Eddie McCarthy. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of McCarthys now.
In Anaconda?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of them.
Right.
And I went to school with Billy McCarthy,
okay.
and he had like 8 brothers or that. So Eddie might be one of them. I don't know.
Yeah, he was the postman there for a long time.
Oh yeah, yeah, that Eddie McCarthy. Yeah.
Yeah, had the party at his house for about 40 years.
Yeah, his wife was a legislator. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sat down and interviewed him. Gosh, it's been almost 6 or 8 months now.
Yeah.
Had a really good chat.
Yeah. Well, he would have known my dad well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great.
They called, I'll tell you that, they called my dad and his brother's harp. My dad, I didn't know my dad's first name was Jim until I was like 10 years old, because everybody, even my mother, they called him harp. And they called two of his brothers harp, but the oldest brother, Mike, he was the chief of police in Anaconda for a long, long time. And nobody ever called him Harp. I don't know why, but they called the other ones Harp.
Was that something that you recognized, nicknames being common?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody had a nickname. Everybody. Even the kids growing up, we all had nicknames.
What was your nickname?
They called me Harpy.
Yeah.
My friends still call me Harpy from Anaconda. Yeah.
So what did your father do for a living?
He was the iron worker foreman on the smelter in Anaconda for 35 years, something like that. Yeah.
So when
he was an iron worker.
So when the smelter shut down, he already retired.
He had retired.
And he stayed in Anaconda?
Stayed in Anaconda. Loved Anaconda. Loved going to the country. He had a couple places out of town. He had a cabin out in Granite County, and he was a prospector. He liked to prospect and stuff like that, and that was his life. When he retired, he would leave Anaconda Monday morning and come home Friday night, leave my mom there 5 days a week without anybody. And that's what he was doing. He was prospecting and stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah.
So he had a little mining claim up there?
At one time, he had like 117 claims, and then they changed the rules or whatever, and you had to start paying money for claims, and he dropped it down to six or so, and we still have four of the claims that he had. We kept four of them, I think it is. Three or four, I'm not sure.
Wow.
We have the apex. We're the apex where the ore was, where we have that, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are any of those being active?
Not really. We had, when my dad was alive, the Anaconda Company was up there for 5 years. They leased it for 5 years, and they did all this core drilling and stuff up there. And then when they closed the smelter in Anaconda, they closed that also. And then year before last, we had a company called Desert Gold out of Denver, Colorado. They were up doing more exploratory. I did drill some more core, and but then my understanding of they don't do the mining. They do the exploration and that, and then they try to get somebody else to come in and do the mining, and they were unsuccessful at enticing anybody to do it. And part of the reason I think is because it sits in a rare two wilderness area. That's right, and has two little creeks, Placer Creek and Squaw Creek, that run right by it that flow into Rock Creek, the middle fork of Rock Creek. And one geologist told him that you'd need 20 years to get the variances you need to mine in that area.
Just because of the
environmental concerns in the water. Yeah.
Gotcha. So, let's see here. Do you know anything about your family name? Has that changed over the years?
Well, yeah, well, their name was Morris Rowe in Ireland. Morrisroe. And then when it came over here, everybody was Morris. And I do remember having a cousin named Roll. I guess they dropped the Morris part or whatever. And I always thought it was an Ellis Island thing that they just cut it short or whatever. But at this picnic and this banquet we had last summer with all the Morris Rows, this fellow that Larry Campbell had done the research, he said they dropped the Roll because Morris was more English sounding, and it was easier for them to get jobs and that then. That's what he said.
And do you speak any languages other than
English? No. Mm-mm.
Did you hear any Gaelic? Any Irish speakers in your family?
No.
Do you have any stories that have been handed down? Through the generations about ancestors in Ireland?
No, not really. My brother probably would have a few, but he was over there listening to them. But like I said, you know, my dad didn't ever talk about his life in Ireland. I don't remember any of his brothers ever doing it either. I have no memory of my grandmother and grandfather. my grandfather was dead before I was born, and I think my grandmother died shortly after I was born. I have no memory of them. My older sister has some memory of my grandmother, but no, I can't remember him ever telling any stories about over there or anything like that.
What do you remember about being a kid in Anaconda? What kind of stuff did you get to?
I liked living in Anaconda when I was a kid. At the time, I thought that'd probably be the only place I'd ever want to live, because it was small. Everybody knew everybody. I would say growing up as a kid in Anaconda it was like living in a classless society, because everybody's parents had basically the same job, same income. You know, it were very few, little difference between them. It was all just, you know, blue collar workers. And again, everybody was Irish Catholic Democrat that I knew anyway. You know, it was pretty much that way.
Do you remember any of kind of activities or games that you played
as a kid?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't have TV, so every night you met outside until you'd play until they would call you. And then in those days, how they would call you is your dad or somebody would stick his head out the door and yell, "Tommy, come home." And even if you didn't hear him, somebody did, and they relayed it, you know, and then you'd go home.
Right.
In the summertime, you could go up to Mitchell Stadium and there'd be a baseball game going on. And I think the game would go on all day long because, you know, one kid would leave, another kid would come, and it would just continue, you know. But we'd play baseball and stuff like that, and we'd play touch football in the streets a lot, and in basketball, of course. But at night, frequently, we would play games like kick the can, hide and go seek, things like that.
Yeah.
As we got a little older, we would play card games. You'd get other in somebody's house and play card games. But you were always interacting with people, because, you know, we didn't have television and that. And listen to the radio.
Right.
I can remember listening to programs on the radio a lot.
Now, was that something that was donated by the company? Was that something that the Anaconda company built?
They might have. They built Washoe Park. I don't know if you've ever been to Washoe Park.
Mm-hmm.
The men that used to get hurt on the smelter, they used to let them work out there.
Oh.
When I was a kid, Washoe Park, they had elk and deer and stuff in there, and you know, all the picnic area stuff and the big playground and a swimming pool. And I know the company took care of that. But as far as Mitchell Stadium goes, I don't know if they did or not. It might have just been the city that did that. I don't know.
Let's see. Were there any particular kind of toys that you guys had access to, or was it kind of a baseball or life situation?
Well, that as a young kid, we always had toy guns. I can always remember, boy, for Christmas, I'd always get my Roy Rogers toy guns or whatever. So I say a lot of it was cowboy-oriented stuff that we played with.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Was there any storytelling in your home? Did either of your parents tell stories?
My dad would tell a lot of stories. It wasn't about Ireland or things like that.
Sure.
He would tell stories about the Old West. He used to love reading these Old West magazines. And he knew, and he would tell stories about what he'd do as kids in Anaconda when they were young in that. And they had a lot of fun, I can say that. I know it wasn't the type of fun kids have today. They were always out in the mountains and stuff like that. But he used to tell a lot of stories. My dad knew the history of the country around Anaconda, like going to his cabin, which was in Granite County, but he knew every ranch, he knew who owned it, how he got it, and he knew all of that history of all of those places like that. Wow. And he would tell a lot of stories about what they would do as kids. But yeah, he would tell stories all the time about that. Never remember him telling one about Ireland or his life in Ireland. Sure. Other than the British soldiers and that.
Yeah. How are we doing? For you?
Mm-hmm.
Should be doing good. Probably have to change out the running there stuff.
Okay. And audio's okay?
Yes, the
great. All right. What was your housing like in Anaconda?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. We had, it wasn't a very big house. It was nowhere near as big as this. There were three bedrooms. One, my sister had one, me and my brother shared one, and my mom and dad had one. It had a basement, but it wasn't a finished basement, you know, it was cement. The room, the kitchen was very small. We had one bathroom. The bedrooms, I'm going to say, were maybe 12 by 10 or so, where my brother and I stayed. Mm-hmm. Weren't very big. We had one little closet that we shared, but we were able to hang all of our clothes in it. My kids wouldn't be able to put a third of their clothes in it. But,
Where did you shop for groceries? Where did your family shop?
Well, when I was a young kid, there were all kinds of neighborhood grocery stores. And I mean, you would go and pick up your groceries at this neighbor grocery store, and you never paid money until payday. You know, it was all charge type things. And but there was a grocery store just a block away from our house, where we used to go down and get our groceries. The guy that owned it was named Charlie Kearns. He was a good friend of my dad's. It was even there when my kids were living in Butte, and they'd go stay with my mom and dad. They could, even then, you know, my kids thought it was just amazing. They could go there and get whatever they wanted, and they didn't have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of the way it ran. And they had a lot of strikes and that in Anaconda, you know, over the years. And the grocery stores would pretty much carry them till the strikes were over, and then they would square up or whatever. But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What was school like?
Well, yeah. Again, we went to a Catholic school. K through 8th grade was St. Paul's grade school, and it was run by the Ursuline nuns, and it was very disciplined, I'll say. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of kids in the class, as I remember. The classes were all, you know, 30 kids or better in a class, I'm going to guess. I don't remember offhand, but there was never any noise, or it was pretty disciplined. Some of the nuns were good, some of the nuns were bad.
What are memories of school that stand out for you?
When you'd go to school in the wintertime and there was snow on the ground, we played pom-pom pool away all the time, and it was tackle, pom-pom pool away. And the winner, of course, would be the last guy to get tackled. Would always be the biggest, meanest, toughest kid in school. But every day we would play that, and when there was snow on the ground, when it was nice out or warm out or that, there was always a softball game going. We played that all the time. I can't think of anything else, much else we did. Marbles. We used to play marbles. Not the way kids play marbles today. We used to draw a circle, and then everybody put so many marbles into the circle, and then you'd have what they call a taw, and that was the one you shot with.
Yeah.
And if you had to shoot your tie and hit another marble, if you hit it out of the ring, then it was your marble. And if your tie went out of the ring, then you lost your turn. But if your tie stayed in the ring, you kept shooting until, you know, it went out. And that was big. I mean, that was, I remember I won the St. Paul's grade school championship.
Awesome.
Yeah, lost in the city. You see, every school would have a tournament. Mm-hmm. And then they would meet at the Civic Center in Anaconda, the Commons, they call it the Commons. And they'd have a city tournament. I mean, if you win the city tournament, you got to go to a national tournament that was in Washington, D.C. at the time. And my brother won the St. Paul's 1 year, and I won St. Paul's 1 year. But we never won the city. So.
That's cool.
And they used to give you a trophy about that big for winning this marble championship.
Wow. Did you have a special
taw? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody had a special taw. Sure. You know. Oh, yeah, yeah. My dad used to like to go to rodeos. So we always, most of our family vacations were centered around some type of a rodeo. I went to a lot of rodeos, went to Calgary Stampede, went to the Cheyenne Roundup. We went to all, we'd go to all the rodeos around Montana. We'd always, My dad worked, had to work 6 days a week. He used to get 1 day a week off, and he'd get like 1 week's vacation. I think he had to work for 30 years before he got 2 weeks vacation or whatever. But every Sunday, just about every Sunday after Mass, we'd eat and go to his cabin. Just about every Sunday.
Cool.
Yeah.
What kind of transportation?
My dad always had an old truck. It was always a beat-up old truck. And then we'd have a car. Yeah.
Do you remember what kind of car it was?
Well, I remember a number of them. We had a Studebaker. Well, I remember the first one I remember is an old Buick that's, I don't know what the year, it was like Dillinger would have driven.
Yeah.
We had an old Buick like that. And, well, I'd have to tell you, for five years, my dad ran a rest home for old men out of Anaconda. And we used to call it the poor farm because that's where they put the old guys, the poor old guys. And when we were there, we had this Buick, this big old Buick. And then when we moved back to Anaconda, they bought a Studebaker. I don't know if you remember what a Studebaker looks like. They had a Studebaker, and then they bought a 1955 Chevy. I wish I had kept it. They had that for a number of years. Then he got another Buick. He had one of my mom's cousins ran the Buick place in Anaconda, and we got a car from them. Those are the cars we had when I was a kid.
Yeah. All right. What holidays and festivals were recognized in your family? Which ones did you celebrate?
Oh, Christmas, Easter, all the traditional ones. Mm-hmm. I won't say for my dad, and I won't say St. Paddy's Day was a big day for him. It was for the rest of the town. I used to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. We always celebrated St. Paddy's Day, but my dad would always give up drinking booze for Lent, and St. Paddy's Day always fell on Lent, so he never celebrated it at all. I don't ever remember him celebrating it. But other than that, I'd say the traditional Christian holidays.
Sure. How have you noticed, say, the St. Paddy's Day celebrations change over the years in your family?
They changed. I mean, I don't remember having parades and that's when I was a kid. They do now. I'd say mostly it was just going downtown and the guys getting drunk for the most part.
Sure.
When I was a kid.
Sure. Were the Hibernians active
in that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. My Uncle Bernie, who was my dad's youngest brother, he was a machinist on the smelter in Anaconda. And he was big in the Hibernians. And I remember one summer there, I went to work on the smelter and they made me his helper. Hmm. And I would pick him up for work. But after the Hibernians meeting, I'd stop at his house, I'd beep once and I'd leave because I knew he wasn't coming. He'd always miss work after a Hibernian meeting.
That's great. How has your neighborhood there changed over the years?
Oh, I'd say the whole town of Anaconda. It's changed like the whole town of Anaconda. I mean, there's a lot of new people in. I mean, I go back there. There's still people I know. But not many, you know, I mean, that's, I know, like, we sold my dad's house to a couple from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. My cousin Mary Pat, they sold their house, her father's house, and that to somebody from California. I mean, I think it's all changed. I mean, it's not the way it used to be, of course. I mean, it's just, I don't think there's a lot of true Anaconda natives left there. I mean, there's some, obviously, but I think it's like everything else, you know, and people move, you know, and I don't think you have the same, well, obviously there's no smelter anymore. I don't know what the people there do for a living anymore. There's not much there. So I think like the people that we sold our house to, they bought it, but they still live in Wisconsin, but they like to cross country ski and they like to mountain climb and so they come out in the summertime and that and do stuff like that. So I expect that's a lot of Anaconda now. People that maybe not full-time year residents or whatever. But
sure.
Yeah, I think the town is different, a lot different.
Yeah. It's certainly smaller in a lot of ways.
Casey.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Are there any historical events that have affected your family or that community in a recognizable way? I mean, obviously you were in the service during Vietnam, but do you remember anything, stories from the Depression or anything like that?
You know, my dad used to talk about going on the bum in the Depression, riding the railroads and stuff like that. I guess they did that a long time ago.
Was he single at that time?
I was right out of high school. Mm. They went on, he bummed all over the country for a couple of years.
Just looking for work.
Yeah. He had a sister that ran a restaurant in California. And he went out there and they put him bussing tables and stuff. And he said he did that one night. He said he loaded up with all the food he could carry and took off the next day. He wasn't into that. He wasn't going to do that. But he traveled... He would work on ranches all around that area for a long time, and he worked in the mines. He worked in mines for a while. He broke his back when he was like 19 years old, something like that. I can't remember the exact. He was a young man. He broke his back working in the Hidden Lake mine out of Anaconda. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Yeah.
He broke his back there, and then they sent him to, he was in California for a year or so doing rehab. Then when he came back, he went to work on the smelter.
Do you know how he broke his back?
Yeah, he went in, they put him into a shiv wheel, you know, the wheel on top, you know, the gallus frame and that, the shiv wheel up there that would lower the men down to the mine and then bring them up. Mm-hmm. And apparently they had a new guy or something on the running the shiv wheel. And he brought him right up into the box he was in coming up. He brought him right into the wheel. Laid him flat down, you know, and broke his back down here.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. But the big historical thing in Anaconda is when the smelter closed. I mean, that's
right.
Changed everything, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly changed a lot. And there's been a little bit of growth there, I think, since, just from, you know, kind of a scattering of smaller
things. Well, we still have a cabin out by Georgetown Lake. It's closer to Echo Lake. You know where Echo Lake is?
Mm-hmm.
We're about a mile from Echo Lake. And we're there a lot, you know. We go over and check it in the winter time a lot, and we spend a lot of the summer up there.
Beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Does your family have any special sayings or expressions? Do you remember anything like that?
How's she going?
Yeah.
How's she going?
It seems to be.
Can't think of anything else offhand.
It seems to be a recurring one.
Yeah.
Were there any special food traditions, any recipes that were specific to your family or that you recall?
Well, my mom was Norwegian, and her mom and dad came from Norway, and they used to fix a dish called kumla.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear of it? It's like a potato dumpling that's cooked in ham juice. Are you Norwegian?
I'm not. No, I just come across it.
Yeah, and that used to be kind of a tradition.
And it's potato dumplings.
Yeah, ham juice, and with a ham and ham juice in that, and you'd put this butter on top of it when you ate it, and that. My wife thought it was the worst thing she ever ate in her life. And I think if you weren't raised on it.
His dad didn't.
Yeah, my dad didn't like it either, but all of the kids did, and all my cousins did, and that was kind of a tradition. The potato cakes. After church, we would go over to my grandma's, and we'd have potato cakes.
How about songs or instruments that you play?
My mom played the piano a little bit. My dad, the only songs I ever remember my dad singing were cowboy songs.
Mm.
And I mean the real old, not country western, but real old cowboy songs.
Do you remember any of those?
Yeah.
Can you give us some titles? How would I just sing?
Well, Little Joe the Wrangler. I don't know the name of the song. It was when the cowboy gets killed and he won't be home to see his mother when the work's all done in the fall. I could probably sing the song for you, but I can't think of the name of it. It's in the lobby of an old hotel in New York town one day. They're talking about it's about a cowboy who's retired and he wants to be back in Texas for the roundup in the spring. I think that's what it's called. He wants to be in Texas for the round. My dad used to sing those, and he used to talk about well, there's a cowboy band and his when he was a kid growing up, and I can't remember the name of the band, but they used to listen to it on the. And his whole family used to listen to it on the radio when they were kids. Wranglers, I can't remember the name of the poem. There's something Wrangler, I can't remember. I hope it's what you're looking for.
It is. Keepsakes that you possess or that you recall?
My sister would have them, I think, if there was a cross that had a hand candles inside it. My sister has it now. My brother had a Morse Road coat of arms. He got it in Ireland when he gave it to my dad. And I don't know if he has it now or not. My dad used to collect boxing magazines and these True West magazines. And when he died, man, we had a trunk full of them. I mean, a big trunk full of these things. And I don't even know what we did with them, to tell you the truth. Other than that, I can't think of other than property. You know, we still have my dad's cabin, and where we built our cabin, it was ground he bought in 1945.
For prospecting
purposes? No, he liked to have horses and stuff, and he bought them because he liked being out in the country. And then when he got the other place up in Rock Creek, he quit going to the place where we built our cabin, but he kept the ground. I can't.
That's great. I can't think of anything better to pass down. Do you have any photo albums or scrapbooks that you kept from?
My sister has them.
Okay.
She had them from when we were kids and that. Yeah, she has. You have to go talk to her because she has all of the photo albums and that. She kept them all.
Cool. Yeah. I'll give you a flyer and a business card. Remind me to do that when we're done. I can give them to you if you see her.
Oh, yeah. I'll see her. Probably talk to her today.
Okay, great. Do you or any of your family partake in any specifically Irish tradition? Irish music or dance? Or?
No, not really.
Was there a history in your family or in the community of wakes? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. Sure, everybody. That was the whole town of Anaconda.
Yeah.
You always had a wake. I mean, everybody still do. They still do. But yeah. Yeah, when my mom and dad both died, we had a wake for them. I mean, it's just pretty much tradition there.
Anything you describe what would go on?
At the wakes? They have the body in the casket up there. And there's always a few family members there. There are the people come in and express their condolences. Then they usually kneel and say a prayer by the casket. They'll always say the rosary. There's usually a couple of songs. I have a cousin too that were play music. He plays the guitar and she plays the piano and the organ and that. And they sang at my mom and dad's wake and that. They sang the songs that were meaningful. I got my mom's wake. They sang that. I have to think of the name of the song now. I know it too as well as here, but I can't think of it offhand. But I remember at our neighbor in Butte, at their wake, they sang. When Irish eyes are smiling when they left. The guy was a German, but he married this Irish woman, and so the tradition went on.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
Where did those take place?
Finnegan's Funeral Home in Anaconda. Yeah. I was never to a house wake. I don't remember a house wake.
And that still takes place in Anaconda?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we've still been there. I've had a few. I think it's changed a little bit now in that they'll have a visitation before the funeral mass right at the church. I don't think there's still the wakes. I think more of the younger people. the last few friends that I've had that died in Anaconda, and we went over there, they had a visitation the night before, like this one, Kevin Sullivan, was a neighbor, lived close to us in Anaconda. He just died, and we went over there, and they had a visitation. It was right at the church the night before the funeral. And I think that's kind of what they're getting to more now.
Yeah.
You know, or even an hour before the funeral, you know, they'll have the people come in. But when I was young, everybody, there was a wake.
And both of your parents were awake?
Yeah. And usually after the wake, they'd meet at a bar or come to the house and have a few toddies, you know what I mean? And,
sure.
And most of the celebrations in Butte and Anaconda involve booze. Celebrations.
When you were growing up, did you spend much time in Butte?
Not a lot of time in Butte. Not a lot of time. When we were in high school, we used to go over there. If we were out on a Friday night or something, we'd always go over there. You could get. Did you ever hear of the M&M in Butte? You know the M&M and. Well, in those days, you could go over there for a buck. You could get a ham and eggs and hash brown and toast. And the ham covered the whole plate, and it was a big plate, you know, and it was, you could hardly eat it all.
Wow.
But we'd drive over there for that. But other than that, not a lot of time in Butte.
Sure. How about sports? Did you ever travel for sports when you were
there? Yeah, yeah.
What sports did you play?
I played baseball and I played football.
Okay.
I went to Anaconda Central. We were a Class B school, so we played. In those days, we played Dillon, Deer Lodge, Missoula, Loyola, Hamilton, Stevensville. We used to play Great Falls Central once in a while. And then baseball was Legion baseball. We'd come here to Billings. We'd play all the big towns in Montana.
Right.
And we'd come here to Billings. It was about the only times I'd ever in Billings till I met my wife were for baseball.
When did you meet your wife?
1975. And then we were married in 1976.
How did you meet?
She was a special ed teacher in towns in Montana, and I was a speech therapist who would travel from Helena to Townsend to serve a couple days a week.
And you asked her out? How did that transpire?
She used to chase me. That's why we might have to beep it.
That's great.
Yeah. But we were working together. We had a lot of the same kids in that.
Cool. In your back to growing up, were there any traditional or home cures for common ailments?
Sure, yeah. Whenever you're getting a cold, you'd get a whiskey with hot water and honey. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, it worked. At least it helped you sleep. But that was the traditional cure that I can remember.
That's great.
You always got, what's that stuff called you rub on your chest?
Vicks.
Vicks, you know, Vicks would rub on the chest. Mm-hmm. Other than that, that's about all I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Were there any superstitions from the community or your family that you remember?
Yeah. We had my dad's uncle, Mickey Morsrow, came to live with us when he was getting old, and my dad was running that rest home at the time, and he was from Ireland, and he'd sit there at night and tell us the stories of the banshees and that, and he'd scare the bejesus out of you, telling you these stories, and I think he really believed them, to tell you the truth. But yeah, he would tell all that, the banshees howling and that before somebody died and that, and the leprechauns. I think he believed in all of that stuff. He might have just been pulling our leg. I was a young kid at the time, but I think he believed it. But he's the only one that I can think of that really had that those times strong superstitions. Yeah, and my dad never had any. He didn't.
Can you explain the banshees?
Well, that's the banshee call when there was when someone was, that would come to take your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Just a spirit is all I could figure out it was that would come to take your soul, but it would make a howling sound. So I don't know what else to say on that.
Banshees.
That's what we're talking about.
Were there any local characters? I mean, it sounds like he was one of them, people like that the whole community knew that were just kind of...
Yeah, in Anaconda, yeah. Used to be a guy used to wear a watermelon on his head all the time, and he'd push it around a cart. I know his name, too, and I can't think of it right now. Oh, God.
And he wore a watermelon on his head?
Yeah, well, a watermelon rind. He'd have it eat it out, and he'd layer that on the top of his head. Lascance, Goofy Lascance, they called him, I think it was. Goofy Lascance. And he'd walk around town.
What did he do? What was his story?
I don't know. Other than he's a little off, I guess. Other than that, I don't know. But I remember him as a town character. Can't think of anybody else offhand right now. I'm sure there were. There were lots of them in Butte.
Yeah. That's true. All right, well, great. I think last question. So if you were to write the history of the Irish in Montana, what would you include for future generations? What do you think is important for people to know about the history of the Irish?
Well, I guess the struggle that they went through. I think a good thing for them to do would be, do you ever watch that video, Butte America?
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of sums it up. You know, in the turn of the century, in the 19th century, Butte was the most Irish Catholic community in America. It had taken over from Boston. Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, the Copper Kings, of course, were mostly Irish. But I think they, you know, they kind of settled this, or at least that part of the country, you know, Butte and Anaconda, they're the ones that settled that part of the country. Yeah. I would tell them to watch Butte America.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I just hope that I can only give you what I remember, and I hope it's part of the stuff you were looking for. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
My brother and my sister probably know a little bit more about the Morse. I don't know if my sister does. My brother definitely does, but he lives in Texas. But he'll be here. He'll be here in May.
Okay.
Yeah, he can be here in May.
Okay. Well, I'll give you a few business cards.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Okay. My sister has all the photos of
the war shows. I have one of my mom and dad the other stairs. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Cool. I don't know if you want to. We could take a snapshot of it.
Okay. That's when they were older, right?
Sure.
I'm going to get that picture.
Oh. That's the only one we have on hand, isn't it, Sandy? We still have stuff all boxed up from our move.